And here, opposition parties are keeping up the pressure on government over housing as the row over investment funds buying up housing estates continues. Labour wants an immediate hike on stamp duty. The funds called rights have to pay. But how quickly can government solve the problem? Our political correspondent Paul Cunningham is with us. And to some extent, Paul, it's the return of normal politics and the housing crisis, certainly back with a vengeance after that Sunday Business Post story at the weekend.
Absolutely. The government is under considerable pressure. I mean, they already recognised there was pent-up demand for affordable housing. They knew it was a huge issue in the election, and they're keenly aware that they have to deliver on this topic. But the question of international investors bulk buying in housing estates blew up this week and just underlined how important this issue is, and maybe also how the country is beginning to move on from its singular focus on COVID-19. I mean, we know that this is going to be a problem. Sinn Féin this week saying that housing is going to be the key issue in the upcoming Dublin Bay South by-election. So this is going to be coming at the government from all angles. But on the issue you mentioned, how quickly are they going to be able to act? I mean, Labour coming out very fast and saying just slap on the stamp duty. That will soften the cough of the international investors. There isn't any problem with this. Finance is going to be taking the lead, the Department of Finance, on what measures they can take. They say they're going to take their time. The approach they're going to adopt is to try and see what measures they can introduce without requiring legislation, because that means they can move fastest to tackle the problem. But there's also a commitment, government sources say, that if legislation is required, whether it's on the planning front or on the taxation front, then they're going to ensure that the measures are in place before the end of the Doyle term.
And the government won't be opposing the Social Democrats' legislation on long-term leasing of homes with these funds?
That's what they said. They weren't going to oppose it as it was brought into the Doyle last night. But it seemed from the debate, which was very sharp, it has to be said, that the government may incorporate the elements of the, or seek to, elements of the Social Democrats' motion, private members' motion, into a review of the conducting of the housing policy. And that immediately raised up alarm bells with opposition parties, the suggestion that something is going to head off into a review rather than being acted on immediately. So then the government's commitment to follow up on this is in question.
I suppose one of the difficulty for two of the parties in government, at least, is Michael Noonan did set these funds up. And at the time, it was seen as a way of getting badly needed investment into the country. And Dara O'Brien had plenty to say about them in opposition. So the issue isn't new, and both parties have had plenty to say about it in the past.
Yeah, and Leo Varadkar, mindful of that particular point in the Doyle yesterday, was saying that these international funds did have certain benefits and that they had helped when it came to delivering on properties, particularly inside in cities. Things have changed now. They're engaging in practices which the government does not want to happen, and on that basis they're going to act. But you're right that to a certain extent both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are on the hook on this particular issue, given positions they've had in previous years, and also because some of the divisions that we saw coming out in the parliamentary party meetings this week, and it was picked up by people like the Social Democrats co-leader Roisin Shortall, who spoke about a circular firing squad in which Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were blaming each other, but the truth was they were, you know, the same side of the same coin. Once again, you saw some very strong language from Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty, who's been leading the charge on this issue of international funds, saying that the government over many years has been frustrating the dreams of people to buy their own homes. Mr. Varadkar coming back and saying, no, you know, they are parties who believe in home ownership. They are going to act, but you can see the temperature is really high and it's going to be a difficult few weeks.
Couple of other issues. First, Dublin Bay South, some by-election developments.
Yes, we do. We, if you take Fine Gael, James Gagan, the councillor, is officially on the Fine Gael ballot to get the nomination after a member from each of the 12 Fine Gael groups in the constituency backed him. Fianna Fáil has appointed Jim O'Callaghan, the local TD, as director of elections. Paddy Tobin confirmed that Ain't Two Will Stand. People Before Profit selected its candidate, 25-year-old Bridget Purcell. She is going to be in there as well. We still have some questions. For example, will Kate O'Connell, the former Fine Gael TD, stand and try and seek the nomination? She is to make her mind up by Monday. Fianna Fáil still have to decide between the two councillors. And Sinn Féin similarly has to decide, will the local councillor get the nomination or could it be two senators? And Labour are able to put their feet up because Ivana Bacik is already out of the traps and she will be standing.
And the Sunday Independent is parting ways with columnist Owen Harris.
Yes, as readers will be aware, Owen Harris is a force of nature with a mission to critique members or supporters of Sinn Féin and the Provisional IRA, or people Mr. Harris maybe perceives to be soft on Republicans in his view, and he's been doing it over many decades. The Irish Independent editor, Alan English, praised Mr. Harris, saying he challenged people to view things from a unionist perspective, but he said his involvement in a Twitter account, which was called Barbara J. Pym, which critiqued people on those positions regarding Sinn Féin, which went after individuals, sometimes very strongly. What the whole point of it was that, according to Alan English, was this was being done anonymously. People didn't know that Owen Harris was part of this account engaging in this particular activity. And he said that amounted to a betrayal of trust and his contract has been terminated immediately. It's still unclear precisely what level of involvement Owen Harris had with the account. He was involved, but to what level, we don't know. Lots of accusations floating around last night, so we're just going to have to see how this one washes out.
Political correspondent Paul Cunningham, thank you.